Everybody, we are Black Girls Inc. I'm your girl, Sister Goose, here with my lovely mother, who's my co-host,
Karen, aka Sugar Mama. Not to be confused with Sugar Daddy. I am Sugar Mama for my grandbabies.
And today I'm excited as always.
Yes.
But not just because that we have an author that we are interviewing, but for those who don't know, that October is the month of domestic violence awareness.
All right.
And our author that we have coming on today is very big about that too.
Okay.
And she has a wonderful personality. She got a lot of things going for herself. This is a woman that we call a woman of many hats.
Yes.
So, Mom, please help me introduce our guest.
Sheena.
Goodine. Let's snap for her, y'all.
Snap.
Hey. How you doing today?
I am awesome. How are y'all doing?
I'm
doing good.
Thank you for
coming on the show with us.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please tell everyone the title of your book and what it's about?
The title of my book is called The Mask Behind the Mask, and it's a book of poetry and spoken words that I put together for people who have bullying imperfections despite what they deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
I love your title already. Because you said the mask behind the mask. So yeah, that's for somebody who think they
took... Sometimes it's too deep. It's two shields deep, yeah.
So you letting them know you think you took your mask off, but you ain't take it all the way off yet, honey.
You got
huh?
that second layer.
Listen, you know people come with like several layers, you know, peeling back like an onion. Mm-hmm. So you know I have to let people know they just showed me your face, but there's several faces behind it that I might not have seen.
Right.
Exactly. So what made you write this book in particular? What called you to write this book?
Well, the first purpose of me writing this book, it definitely comes from the fact that I dealt with several people that changed my mask because I went through domestic violence, not once, but twice.
Okay.
So the other reason I wrote the book is because if you look at me, I don't look like I knew any type of chronic illness. But I have some conditions. I have fibromyalgia, which is chronic nerve pain. Mm-hmm. I have ankylostoninitis, which is arthritis in my spine, goes to respiratory system, runs through your fatties. Mm-hmm. And then I have a kidney disease, which is called kidney disease. So my book title came to the fact to show my people that just because you see me, right. you don't know the path that I walk, right. or you don't know what you know what I'm carrying behind the mask that you see. I might be smiling. But I walk around in pain all day. So that's why it's titled The Mask Behind the Mask.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I understand. Thanks for breaking that down for me and for everyone else who's listening.
I totally get you.
Because now it makes totally sense because I'm only letting you see what I want you to see.
Uh-huh.
So I like that. Very unique.
And that's a mask too. What I want you to see is a mask too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how did you get into writing?
Well, I've been writing since I was 12. So that's always been my way to kind of express my feelings instead of talking about it. I used to write about it. It was just my escape.
Okay.
What is your favorite? Because you said this is a book of poems.
Poems and spoken words.
Okay, poems and spoken words. What was the one that might have been the hardest for you to write?
I would say Overcomer, because with that poem, it talked a lot more about my mental, my physical, and my emotional abuse.
Okay.
But it showed you at the same time that I overcame it because I took a path to happiness.
Okay.
Now, I gotta ask you, because you said it's poems and spoken word. I always mm-hmm. wondered what the difference was. So can you explain that to me, of the difference between the spoken word one from poem?
Well, it's just a different lyrical concept when it comes to spoken words.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it has to rhyme.
Okay.
It's just you're speaking your feelings and you're putting in a concept of poetry and you're putting a lot of emotions behind it because honestly, you're speaking truth for who you are.
Okay. I like that. Okay, well then dang, I got some spoken words too.
You can spoke some words and then you can put a beat to it and you know, make your own little lyricalness to it.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to put it together.
Oh, I like that. Okay. So, which chapter is the dearest to you? Because to me, the way you write your book, you're really letting yourself be open. Because this is about you personally, right?
Yes.
So which chapter was like the dearest one to your heart?
Well, when my book is not chapter, these are all topics.
Okay.
And they're all actually there, but if I have to take one, I would definitely say power. And that was the one that I talked about, how you're positive and how you have powerful and how you take your power back.
Okay.
So that was my power moment when I used that to go after going through so many things and dealing with chronic illness and just being a single mom. You use that as to gain your power and to understand that life can be hard. You go through different struggles. You go through different things. But we hold the power to be mighty and be a warrior through anything that we deal with.
Right.
That's what's up. I'm feeling that, girl. I felt that in my soul.
Yes, because I bring it from the soul, so you already know.
Yes.
I want to say, too, that I want you to be very careful with your kidney disease, because I'm saying this for Sugar Mama, because Sugar Mama's on dialysis, and that's a bitch. You hear me?
She said that. Did you just say that?
It's a true statement, though.
But I'm telling you, it's not life-threatening, but it's life-changing. And you don't realize going 3 days a week sitting on your behind getting treatment is a trip.
Now, well, Sugar Mama, you're telling me something that I already heard. And I thank you, because I was diagnosed with my kidney disease in 2014.
Right, and it's
so,
serious at first.
And, you know, mostly, you don't have to go get, you know, the check. You know, I have to go with my ultrasound and I have to see the specialist. So I did it. And this is why I do everything in my power to not take anything that could functionally harm my kidneys, so that I can stay functioning as long as possible. Because, you know, the disease that I do have, there is no cure to it.
Right.
And the ending result is of kidney failure.
Right.
So the fact that I get it, I understand it. And to your way, I hold that very high to everything, and that's why I don't take hard narcotics for anything else that I do.
Right.
Everything, I pretty much, I take muscle blockers so I can sleep at night because of the fibro and the chronic nerve pain.
Right.
But other than that, I really don't let a lot of things that flow through my kidneys, because I don't want it to flow through my kidneys, so I want it to function as well as it can.
Right. I'm telling you, because it's hard, girl.
Well, she knows she's going through it herself.
It's hard.
I had to tell you, you are a strong woman to me. And I'm not saying that the other woman on here wasn't strong either. But, you know, from what you was open with us to share and everything you're doing, I see you as a very strong Black woman, because you do not let it hold you back from what you want to do. You're writing your books. You doing your live thing with jewelry and all that. Like, you are a woman who's doing multiple things. And I be seeing you on your Facebook.
I be busy. I do have many hats.
You do.
With the jewelry live, and then, like you said, you know, I'm doing my book. But then, I'm also a podcast host on two different platforms. Like, I host this one podcast called Rundown on Fridays. Then I do pre-recorded videos for Tuesdays and Thursdays on Feel Good Talk, which is called Words for the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a writer for a magazine called Blessings. I write in there, which we call that Ingredients for the Soul. And then I'm dropping my book too in November, and I have a documentary from that I co-produced that will be dropping this month as well.
Wow. See, a woman of many hats. You a warrior.
Okay. Well, Sheena is a
That's what I'm saying.
She's a warrior. She's
you said her name was a warrior, and she is.
Her name is Sheena. She's
well, this ain't the warrior. Fiction warrior. This is a real warrior. Let's give her a snap for being a warrior.
Snap.
Give her a snap for that.
Everybody don't get no snaps, but you get it.
So how many books do you have now? Because I heard you say you're working on something else. Do you have any other books?
Well, I have the one now. The other one will be dropping next month. I took a year and a half to get that one together, because, you know, I needed to be as great as the first one, so, you know. And with that one, I won't reveal the title yet. Everybody has to find out the title and tangles together. I'm gonna do a drop date for the book and a whole launch for the book cover and the title and all that on Facebook. I'll make sure you're gonna get to it all. But the second book is more of helping people get the breakdown. Like, the first book, I told you had a mask on. I told you that, you know, you're hiding behind things that you're not trying to show people. But in this book, I'm helping you reveal the different structures of what you're carrying and what you're dealing with and what we go through.
That's what's up. I could tell you're so, I'm seeing your book, you know, I always tell people how I see their book as being received. And from what you're telling me about your book, I see it as an eye-opener, a yes. reflection on yourself,
yes.
self-healing, and learning to accept who you are.
So, yes.
Thank you for that book. Like, y'all need to check her book out, because we got these masks, y'all. Like she said, it's different layers.
Yeah.
Let her help you with y'all's layers, because it's more than one. You know, let her
well,
help you see.
You take it off now, you got the coronavirus. You take it off a secret. Of take it off of somebody else, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know you took it off because it's already out.
Get ready for that.
And it won't be hard to come out with it. They ain't seen you in how long anyway.
I know, right? But yes, I can help with that too, because I created the Fear of Master Motivation with the seminars, workshops, mentoring, marketing, life coaching, and one-on-ones. And I just got my life coaching certificate, so, yeah.
I also, too, I want to tell you that I don't just call you, like, a strong woman because of the things you said you go through, but you said you've been through domestic violence twice.
Yes.
So you are a survivor, girl.
So yes.
You didn't get out once, but you got out twice.
Right.
And what would you say to the girls out there who are struggling with domestic violence right now? What would be your encouraging words for them?
My first encouraging words is don't fear the silence. You actually can reach out, find the space to find somebody that you can talk to. But a lot of us sit in silence because we are fearful of something happening, or we're fearful to start over, or we're fearful because we still don't have a great line to the things of old, they're going to change. Once they do it one time, they're going to do it again. It's those I'm sorry's and those flowers and those gifts that's supposed to cover it up and make it look nice. At the end of the day, you got to know your worth. Gotta know that you deserve better, and you gotta know that if somebody out there that is going through the same thing, you're not alone. So you can do this. You just gotta have the, you know, you gotta have the, what do I want to call it? You have the ambition and the goal to drive to get out of the situation that you're in. Because just because it looks dark right now doesn't mean that that's the end of your story. You have another story. You have another growth, and you have another transformation. You just gotta be ready to fight for it.
That's what I'm saying, man. I felt that's what's up. So y'all heard her. This is not the end of your story.
No, it's not.
You can always make another chapter. You can always start over, you know. And I was saying before when I was doing the interview, because I didn't go through domestic violence, but I had a family member who went through it. And I was supporting them the best way I could, you know, that person for them. But I noticed how when people did find out she was going through it, I didn't like how some people made her feel stupid about
yep.
it. And that upset me, because I'm just like, why are y'all making her feel stupid? You don't understand that sometimes it's really hard to get out.
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes that it's really about life or death.
Yes.
It's not as easy as people think it is, yes. where, oh, you can just quit and just say you're done and leave. It's not that easy. You're speaking to somebody from the outside,
right.
and you're not inside, because I saw it firsthand of how hard it was for this person to escape.
Yes.
So, I mean, family, go ahead, say what you're going to say.
You know what it is, a lot of people, it's not happening to them, so they're not understanding the cycle that it can be, because mentally, if you're being abused, and emotionally, and the physical, it healed up. But mentally and verbally abuse is a whole lot worse. And at the same time, they've done broken down to where you don't have the self-esteem to hold and to get out of it, because you feel you still need them. And that's how they make them feel. And at the same time as well, like, I left my situation and I still got stuck. So in the repercussions of me getting a restraining order, they still ain't care about that piece of paper.
Right.
So you can try to leave, and at the same time, they still following you over and still trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can leave, but your life still be on the line at the same time.
Right.
Exactly. So I encourage people who are the person that somebody tell you, if you're being their support system, please don't make them feel like they're stupid.
Right.
Because
no, you gotta be there.
Need. Be a lending ear, comfort them, let them know you're here to support them, and don't be judgmental, because we all got our stuff. Ain't nobody perfect.
Right.
Just because yours ain't putting their hands on you don't mean your relationship's perfect either.
Exactly. And they probably is going through some type of abuse verbally or emotionally and don't even know it.
Exactly.
Or sure, I say they know it, they just not acknowledging it. Let me correct that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. Because I really cannot stand the phrase when somebody said, well, I would never let somebody put their hands on me. You don't know what you would do.
You would do if you were in that position.
That's so true.
It's so easy to say it because it ain't happened to you. Of course you want to say that. You don't know what you would do. Because I had one moment where a boy put his hand on me one time. Now, I was able to go and stuff, and it wasn't that dramatic. And my mom
did.
But still, when it happened, I was in shock.
I couldn't even
think to have a reflection. Well, not reflect, but you know your reaction.
Right.
Yeah.
Was hit on back or something. Like, I couldn't think. I was in shock. Did this person just really hit me in the face?
Yeah.
Did that just really happen? Did they just grab me like that?
Yeah.
So you be stunned. It's not like y'all think where they hit me, I'm hit on back. You might be in shock when it happened.
Shock.
So it's not that easy, people. Just know that. I'm just saying that because it really annoys me when you try to get help and people say crazy things like that to you. And I'm just trying to really make people get it. Right. Don't be saying them crazy things to people.
Because you know what I'm going to say?
Well,
I'm
going to
say this.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this. Is that Sugar Mom wasn't really in a relationship like that, but I was close to somebody and they were very close to me. And I still thought that my love was enough for them to just say, okay, you can just cut that off, and I got you. But you know what?
Uh-huh.
With that wasn't enough. And so I saw through that even that wasn't enough. And I thought it was easy, but I saw it firsthand. It wasn't. It wasn't enough to just say, I'm just going to come over here with you, and it's going to be all right. It wasn't. So I saw that. And I saw that fear. And I didn't realize that it was there until I said, come over here with me and do this. And then it was like, no, I can't, you know, and I'm just like, why can't you? And then they even made them turn against me, kind of. And I just was like, really? And I thought that we were so close, how are you going to turn on me? But I realized that fear in them made them turn on me.
Yeah, and what it is, sometimes people want to go, but they're not going to reach how they had enough. So, like, until you get that enough moment, like, I'm good, I can't really do this no more. I really don't have the strength to even deal with this. This is when, I call it the enough moments when they finally power and realize, like, you know what? I'm better than this. I can get out of this. I can do this. And I can move on. Because, like you said, the fear, or them not realizing they self-esteem with what's going on with them, or just being blinded to the love and feel that they're going to change, be a lot of reason why they end up staying, or financially, because they feel that, oh, I don't have no money, so where am I going to go?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, y'all heard it right here from a survivor herself, that no matter how deep you are in, you seen what she did with herself. She got out not once, but twice. Y'all can do it. I know it's going to be hard. I know you might feel like nobody else wants you.
You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing now.
But
go ahead.
Sometimes you got to start over, and it's okay.
It will be okay.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, where do you see your future plans? Because you got so much already going on anyway, but still, where do you see your future plans going?
Listen, I'm going to continue to be in the middle.
Yes.
But if I want to say a plan, I would definitely see probably being able to help as many people as I can, one, being a great advocate for domestic violence, but also as well, being able to mentor and teach people how to love on themselves without feeling that they have to change who they are, change their souls to be comfortable. They have to just, my biggest thing is to teach people how to love themselves behind their mask. Because a lot of people have a lot of things that they don't love about themselves and they're not ready to accept it. And that's why a lot of times we walk around with masks. So my goal is just to reach as many people as I can and implant in their soul the love of loving yourself, the love of self-worth, the love of determination.
Yes, I see that for you. Look, you speak it in the atmosphere, it's going to happen.
Yes.
It's going to happen. Because You already be motivating me when I see you on Facebook, girl. Because like I said, I watch it. I always do my, you know, I don't call it investigation, but I do my background check, my homework on the interview. And you got a lot going on. You be inspiring me. I'm like, this woman's doing so many things. How she don't get time to do this and that?
That's my goal, though. My goal is for people to see the light and continue to let it shine on them too, so they can shine. That's my goal.
Yeah, and you have such a humble spirit. I love that when I meet a person like you who's doing so many things, you still have this humbleness, though. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I'm all out in a bag of chips. I can't do that right now. I thank you for making time, you know, to come on our show. Because you didn't have to. You know what I mean? So I thank you for that. And I thank you for showing me how you're a woman who got all this going on. And you're still humble enough, you know, to come on somebody else's show and help them too. And I admire that about you. So just know I admire you.
I appreciate it. I'm all for the collaboration to excel in different areas for everybody. I'm not one that's like, you know, it's about money and food and inspiration out here for everybody. So I'm not one that, oh, well, I'm too big to be on that, but that's not my style. It's like, all right, well, you know, like, hey, what's your platform about? Okay, sure, why not? Let's go, let's get it. Empower, motivate, inspire, and educate. Go.
Yeah. So, on our show, we do this thing that we call tea time. Let's do our tea time. Go ahead, take it home. Now, tea time is when we just have an open discussion on a topic that we make about the author's book that they brought to us, whether it's a title or a theme that you have or a certain phrase you might have used. We make a topic off of that, and we just openly have a discussion. So you ready to do that with us, girl?
I sure am.
All right. So, and we'll have Sugar Mama go first because she always be ready to go first. So our tea time question of the day is, when was a moment in your life when you had to take off your mask?
Oh, that's easy.
Right?
Okay, I'm going to say this. You know what? Sugar Mama had it. I was in a job that I was a supervisor at. And on that job, I had a lot of stress because I have to tell you that Sugar Mama was, I'm outspoken now, but I wasn't before. But now I was a supervisor. So being a supervisor, it's hard to be not outspoken and be a supervisor because it's the loudest bird gets fed first. Let's say it that way. So that's how, you know, people didn't take me that way, but I had so much stress on my job that I had a stroke. When I had a stroke, it made the mask come off. So I didn't have buffers. So whenever I talked, it was like, who is that? Because that ain't, you know what I'm saying? Because it was like, okay, so I'm coming out of raw now. Because I wasn't raw before.
Right.
But now it's like I don't have buffers where I just say what comes out. Whatever comes in my head, I just say it. So my mask was taken off then. But it wasn't because I wanted it to, but it came off. But now, so I found more of a person who Karen is. So that Karen who had the show before, she died that day. But another Karen was born that day. And it's not, to me, it's not a mess. It's the one who was born that day. Because that Karen died. Because she had a stroke and she was no more. So whenever I woke up, I wasn't her anymore. I couldn't do the things I could do. Because you think, I went to sleep. Before I went to sleep, I was independent. I could do whatever I wanted to. And go where I wanted to go, do whatever I wanted to do. But after I woke up, I was a person who had to be dependent. I couldn't walk or talk or move around by myself freely.
Yeah.
So I was totally somebody different. So to me, I was a baby. And I became born that day. So that's when I take my mask off.
Then. That was a good one, Sugar Mama. Did you want to go next or you want me to go?
You can go next.
Okay. The moment that I had to take off my mask, I'll say it happened after I had my second child. I was always a person who was happy. All the time. Well, not happy all the time, but I was a bubbly person.
Yeah.
Still are. And not just that, but everybody just thought I was so strong because I dealt with a lot of things in my life. Mm-hmm. So they was used to me always getting myself back
bouncing
up.
Back.
I was always good at bouncing back. Like, that's not going to bother me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to do this, this, and that. But after my son was born, I had to take off my mask of being that person who was strong and who was always happy. And I had to be vulnerable and show that, you know what? I'm really not happy right now. And I had to ask for help, which was very hard for me. Because my mom, being a single mom, I watched my mom. And I'm not saying this is nothing bad about you or anything, Mom, when I say this. But I feel like us black women learn when we grow up to not really ask people for help. Because if you can't do it yourself, then don't even ask nobody, because you don't want to depend on nobody so they can't help you with it, you know, or show up when you need it. So you got to do for yourself. So I had to take off that mask and really say, I need help, which was very hard for me, because that's something that I learned on myself, that I put on myself not to do. So taking off my mask was me saying, I need help. And that's what I did. I was vulnerable and let myself be seen after that. So that's the time when I took off my mask.
So, well, with me, I took my mask off a couple of times, but when I actually officially took my mask off and transferred to the amazing phenomenal woman I am now, was literally what I did was, you know, after going through my Instagram and being a mom of two kids and seeing, they see me go through it the second time, when it wasn't older like the first time, I had to be able to show them that I went through something, but I know how to transform through it and not just be stuck in a space of hatred, frustration, depression, anxiety, PTSD, paranoia, but all of those things after being stuck for at least 6 to 7 months plus continued. And my goal was November 23rd of 2018 with my transformation moment. I took a stand of, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm not going to depend on anybody talking, you know, and worry about an opinionation of what I've been through. Worrying about a judgment of what I've been through. Or worrying about how someone seen me because I went through something. I was determined that my kid is what I need to be strong for, and they needed to be a role model of someone that went through a tragedy, or meet a storm, a beautiful butterfly. And that's when my book was, my title created that day, because I was determined that I was not going to let my kids be in the life of the lane of the same thing of their environment. I was determined to give them a different version of a life that they can control on their own, because yeah, your mama went through this, but your mama didn't stay there. So that was my transformation moment, because my kids saw a different version of me when I took the stand to not let anything hold me back. I had to take my mask off. I had to get uncomfortable to be comfortable to get back comfortable to then be successful.
That's good.
That's so good. Let me tell you something. Hearing you say that, it literally almost made me cry. Because I'm that child who's seen my mom do exactly what you said right there. And that means a lot to me. I respect mothers like you and my mom. Because my mom, she was close to being an alcoholic. She didn't know that's the road she was going down. That's the road she was going down. Because they would drink all the time. And when me and my cousins was kids, we would play around and call them the monsters. They turned to something different when they was drunk. So it was either going to be a fight or argument, or they was going to do something crazy. But we was watching. And I got to see my mom transfer to, I'm done drinking. I'm putting the drink down. We're going to start going to church. We're going to start praying more. I'm not going to drink all like that no more. I'm not going to party y'all like that no more. I'm going to spend more time with y'all now. We're not going so much go to all the parties that the family members have. We don't got to go to all of them. I got to see her do that transformation. And that was a lot for me. Like, that meant a lot for me to see. Because she said, you don't have to stay there.
Wow.
So, So I know that your kids really appreciate you for that too, because we need to see that, because when we get older, I almost had a moment like that when I got older. My son was premature, and when he was sick, I don't drink, but I was so emotionally damaged, I started drinking, and I mean hard liquor drinking. And when I was drinking, I noticed I was acting like my mom, and that little girl in me said, "You're a monster right now." The same thing that I would call my mom. And that night, I was sitting there, and I thought about my mom's transformation, and I was like, my mom decided to stop, and she changed it around. So this is not the end for me. I just got to change it around the same way she did. I got to stop drinking. I got to face what the real problem is. I got to accept it. So I'm saying that as a thank you for Sugar Mama and you as mothers, that help us kids for when we grow up, like you said. You're showing us how to come out of our storm as beautiful butterflies. Right. So I'm going to give y'all two ladies a snap for that.
Thank you.
And there's many more of us out there.
Yes, right. There is.
Yes,
I say that because I like your title, because two mothers, take that from these two ladies as an example. Let your kids sometimes see you fall and get back up.
Yes.
If we don't see that, then when we fall, well, mommy and daddy never fall. I can't really go to them about it. Or I don't know what to do right here, because none of my parents did this, so they're going to be disappointed in me. They're not going to come talk to y'all about it.
You know, there was one thing I want to say to her, too. Is that, since you said that, I'm going to say this, too. I hinted them in one spot, too. Another spot, too, is that me and their dad never argued. Never argued in front of them. So they never seen us argue. They never seen us get it back together. So they never saw us argue. So whenever I see them argue, I'm like, well, maybe your dad never argued. They said to me one day, well, see, I never saw y'all argue, so I didn't never really came to terms with what I should do about that, because
exactly.
We never did that in front of them. And so when I see them argue, I'm like, what is that? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and then another couple argue. When they were kids, they was like screaming like something was going to burn down or blow up or something.
Because we never seen it.
It was like, what is this? But now I will say to you, we never really argued. So we didn't argue in private or in public.
Yeah.
See, what I did was, I gave my, like, when I do my daughters, I give them an open door to be able to tell me how they feel.
Right.
Because I told them, I said, you know, y'all have your own thoughts and your own feelings.
Right.
And I want you to sit in your feelings and not tell me anything because you're fearful of how I'm going to react.
Right.
Or you're fearful of how you think I might feel about it. I'd rather you tell me than to something, you hold them back if something happens.
Right.
So I give them the girl on the free time, and I'll ask you, I call it girl time. I said, all right, it's girl time. Well, we don't talk about that. How you feel? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. I said, even if it's going to make me mad, or if it's going to make me feel so sorry, I'd rather you tell me that you're mad at me right now.
Right.
I'd rather you tell me, mommy, you know, this is how I feel about what you said.
Right.
Or, mommy, this is what's going on right now. Instead of you holding it in, because that's how some kids hold stuff in too long, don't want to talk. They might be getting bullied at school, or you might be going through suicide, you know, just whatever. But I give it an open door policy so that they're able to speak to me and give them that freedom to say, you know what, mommy, you made me mad right now.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so why did I make you mad though? And then when they tell me why, I'm like, so, well, why did I tell you what you had to do? And they go, oh, because of the, okay, so what do you think your options should be?
Right.
And do you think you should be on punishment? Yeah, okay, that's what we came to trying to understand why you're on punishment right now.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
Good. You know, yeah, and I'm going to tell you what I did. What I did is that I had a table, and I said, you know what, I'm going to take my mama hat right off right now. And then what you tell me, it stays right here. Ain't no trouble for me before, but put it out there. And that's what we did. I put my mama hat down and say whatever it is you want to say. And I say, whatever you want to say, you can say it. But you said with respect, I can hear. But then sometimes you just throw stuff out there, and it's not like that, then sometimes you can't hear. And you might be right. But if you say it wrong, then I can't. I
know
what you said, but you got to say it the way that you both can take it.
And I always say, it's your tone. It's how you deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you say it. I said, because if you say it screaming, I don't look at you like, why are you talking about it? What are you saying?
If you can Say it the right way. Say it to me in the right way. We both do it. We both get it. Because you might be right. And there have been times where I said, you know what, you right. I'm sorry. I should have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people are like, why are you saying that to them? I got to say that because they right.
And that's what it is. Some people overlook that they do have feelings and they are little people and if we want them to respect, we gotta respect them too.
Right.
And that's where I give them that, but I tell them in order to be respect, I give respect too. You're not gonna talk to me crazy. You have to learn how to communicate.
Right.
Communication is here, and if you can't communicate me, or you won't, take 5 minutes, come back and then think about it.
Right. Exactly. Right, but you can get it out. We can talk about it. We can talk about anything.
Anything
you gotta say. I actually tell my kids, you wanna ask something, you want something, know something, come and ask me. I don't care what it is. And one time, let me tell you what, when my kids came and asked me, I just go ahead and said in front of everybody, what's my business, mom? And I said, you wanna know that?
Oh my goodness. She really put that out there.
Because I'm saying, I'd rather you ask me. Ask somebody else, say, well, you know what? Let me show you what it is. No.
Ask me
whatever it is. I'll tell you, and if I don't know, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to find out. Tell me what this is. But I've had to look up stuff. But I've told people, and then the dad was mad. He was like, don't tell her that. And I said, I'm going to tell her that. Because you know what? If I don't tell her that, somebody else is going to tell her that.
Yeah.
Somebody will say, let me show you. And then you don't want that. You don't want that. You want to tell her. I said, I'll tell you. I don't care what it is. You tell me. I'll tell you what it is. You want to know.
Yep.
But don't ask nothing for your friend now. But if you want
to know. If you want to know, exactly.
I'll tell you.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Yeah. So, me and you got a lot in common.
Yes, y'all do.
We know.
I will tell you.
So, everyone, you just heard us do a tea time topic. Just from her title alone, the mask behind the mask.
Yes.
If we got all that just from the topic, which was a really good tea time conversation.
Then
imagine what y'all gonna get when you read her book of poetry and spoken word.
Yes.
I got it right.
Yes,
spoken word.
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell them where they can get your book from, Miss Sheena, and where they can follow you at and everything. Let them know their information.
Yeah.
All right, well, I will tell you, when you find my book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, all platforms, DrMailOnline.com, or you can always contact me, Sheena Goodine, also on Facebook, or you can also go to my website, which is www.BarnesandNoble.com as well, and if you want to find me on other platforms, I have the Sheena Master Motivation, which is Facebook, I have a jewelry page, which is G&G Jewelry on Facebook. I am on the Rundown Show podcast on Facebook. And then I also have an author panel network as well that I am involved with, that's the founder of that as well on Facebook. On Instagram, I'm Testimony for Life, which is Testimony_4_Life. And on Twitter, I am W_Goodine, Twitter.com. And yeah, I think that's all my platforms right now. And if you want to go on home here, and if you, I do have a YouTube channel, which is The Lady Behind the Mask.
Okay.
And then also, if you want to hear my words from the heart, go to Feel Good Talk, Feel Good Talk, which is on Facebook. I am on, my video drops every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, y'all gonna wanna watch that. That's a good little bit right there. All right, we gotta give her a shot, because like I said, this woman be doing so many things. I think you had the longest list on our show.
So many things.
I mean that in a good way. Keep busy. Go ahead. Work hard, girl. You got this.
Definitely. Because before I came on your podcast, I was on tour of the Zoom meeting earlier today.
Okay.
And then I have an interview tomorrow and a meeting. So, yeah, I'm going to
move. All right. Well, Miss Sheena, we thank you so much for coming on our podcast for Black Girls Inc.
I appreciate y'all having me on Black Girls Inc. I am always following your podcast, and you guys are doing an awesome job, and I continue to say many blessings to y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now you know what this means, Sheena,
right? Yeah, you know what it means now, right?
What does it mean?
You are officially a Black Girls Inc. member.
Group.
Yes, and whenever you do get ready to do your second book, please let us be on your list for one of your interviews you do. We would love to have you.
Definitely. Y'all gonna come through because y'all gonna be ready for this book. This one here. Y'all gonna be ready for this book.
I'm already excited, and we don't see the title yet, and I'm excited because I'm so good. Chills on what you're wondering.
Now, Sheena, tell them what else we're doing, too. When we get people's book, when she has the book, we're putting it on our bookcase.
Yeah, when we get people's book and stuff, we're going to be promoting their book for the whole week. Because we're about to go to YouTube, everybody. Remember, October 18th, Black Girls Inc. will still be on Spotify Podcast. But we will also be on YouTube where you can watch us.
Be able to see us.
Okay.
All right, now,
be able to see us.
I'll be following. I'm going to subscribe. I'll be there.
Do that. And I'm about to go look at your stuff. I'm about to subscribe you. Okay.
I'm about to look at your jewelry because Sugar Mama crazy about some jewelry now.
Well, oh yeah, listen. Look, matter of fact, Sugar Mama, you can one inventory I have. You can call me. I can do a video chat with you to do inventory. All right. And then I'll send you my website link too. That you can always check on there for stuff too. And everything is $5.
Right. I used to make jewelry, but after I had my stroke, I can't do it no more. But I used to do it.
Look, I told you my mom was crazy about jewelry.
So you said it.
I was in, so you said more jewelry.
I was going to say, as soon as you said jewelry, she said jewelry. Wait a minute. Where?
Especially if it's handmade, I'm in it. Because I know, because it's different. You don't realize how different handmade stuff is, and that's the way
I don't handmade it. I do work for a company called Paparazzi Jewelry Consultant, but everything takes $5. So, and they're all lead and nickel free jewelry, and they come out with different pieces from Monday through Friday. So, it's always something just awesome to get him. There's something that's different. And every, in my jewelry, the necklace and the earrings is a set for $5.
Okay.
Oh yeah, she's gonna be ordering off of there. Don't worry about that.
I'm gonna be there, and I will be wearing it on my YouTube when I be on there. Cause I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna do lip cam.
Well, I'm gonna make sure I tag you because every Wednesday I go live too. So
yeah,
I'm having a lip cam where I'm gonna have my lip glosses. I got since we doing the mask thing.
Yeah.
You know I can't show my lips all the time, so I didn't got a spot where I show my lips in there. I'm a jewelry freak and I'm a lip gloss lipstick fanatic.
Yes, she
all
is.
All right.
Is, y'all. That's why she's Sugar Mama. That's why.
There ain't no wrong with that. I just dropped my website in her inbox.
Yeah.
And like I said, just hit me up whenever you want to do a matter of fact, I'm gonna send you the pictures that I have of jewelry right now too.
All right, I got you. I'm so on that.
So y'all heard it first. Sugar Mama about to wear some her jewelry
on YouTube. And when I wear it, I make sure I say it's Sheena, y'all. Sheena got me looking like this.
That's right. Emily Define.
Yes. If you want to look like this, you better get with her.
Yes.
That's right. All right.
That's all the time we have, everybody. I'm your girl, Sister Goose.
And I am Sugar Mama.
And we are Black Girls Inc. Snap you later.